Well, if you don't know who I am, you might think, why have I come to this church? I promise you that's only my part-time job. A lot of fun this past week, or the past couple weeks, I guess, filming with Pastor Steve and Pastor Nick. And it's great to be here with you guys this morning. If you are not aware, I still attend here. I sit at the back over there, and then whenever I'm allowed to, they let me sit up here. And so that's what I'm doing this week. I'm excited to be here. I want to thank Pastor Jeff for having me come and preach this morning. I'm looking forward to being back with you guys this morning and looking forward to preaching to you. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. Pastor Jeff would normally do this, but he's not here. He wants to announce a birth. On Tuesday at 7:19, my wife gave birth to a boy. Yes, he was not small, about 22 inches long, 9 pounds, 7 ounces. I know, just like his dad, and I guess I found out the trick to having something other than a girl. If you don't know, I have 3 girls. It took resigning for me to have a boy, and so I guess I'm thankful. But we're super excited. His name is Nixon Crew Gilfillan, and you might think, where in the world does Crew come from? Doesn't matter. I roll with my crew, and so we're good. But I'm excited to be here. Rachel is doing well. I am doing well. Thank you for thinking of me as well. It was great. We had Ashley Bergens. If you don't know who Ashley is, she is a fantastic labor and delivery nurse. She was there with us the entire time, even though she was not on shift. And she really made my job easy. I just woke up when it was time to do something. And don't judge me, all right? But we're really excited to meet you this morning. And I can't wait for you to meet him in the next couple of weeks. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd love for you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. I know we have our kids in the sanctuary this morning, and parents love it when your kids are sitting next to you, trying to keep them quiet. So we're going to be an hour and a half this morning. But I'm looking forward to just sharing God's word with you. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read pretty quickly and then get into this morning's message. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Azekah. And the Ephesdamim and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley in between them." Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, the truth that it speaks. I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, your word would not be just information gathered, but God, it would be something that would be imparted into our heart this morning. God, we know through Scripture that from the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I pray that your word would infiltrate our heart today so it would come out in how we speak, in how we live, in how we think, in how we act. So Father, would you have your way in this place? I love you, and I need you now more than I ever have. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When I was asked to preach this message, I know it was Pastor Jordan who was supposed to be here. So I do wish I was here on different circumstances, but I'm so thankful for Pastor Jordan's ministry. And I tell people all the time that Pastor Jordan is probably the best kids pastor in all of Canada. And people look at me and think, well, you don't know my kids pastor. I don't need to. I know Pastor Jordan, and he is fantastic. And if you have kids or grandkids, you are blessed to have a pastor like him lead your kids into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's awesome. When I was the pastor here, the junior high and youth pastor, I hated birthday nights because he made the gymnasium or the prayer room look incredible. And you think to yourself, I am not creative one little bit. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Jordan. I know he's probably watching online. And so I want to greet him this morning and say thank you, Pastor Jordan, for all that you do in this church, in my kids' lives. And I know in the kids, other kids in this place as well. But when I asked him, yeah, you could give Pastor Jordan a clap. He kind of gave me an idea of where he was going, and so he allowed me the freedom to take that idea and run with it. And so just for a brief moment, I'll talk to you about video games. As you can see, that's kind of been our subject for the week. I love video games. I loved and love video games. It's not just a kid thing. It's an adult thing, too. Especially when I had three girls, I needed some guy time where I would just leave the house, not the house, the upstairs, go to the basement where all the Barbies with nowhere clothes on them were, and I would try and just get locked into my video games for a few moments. And it was entertaining. It still is. I love sports video games. But when I was younger, the video games were a little different. Mario and Luigi. My favorite's Luigi. You might understand why. And I enjoyed that game. But with that game, there are some things you have to understand with any type of video game. There are levels to video games. There are different levels that you have to accomplish to get to the end of this game. There was always that one level that you would start off with, and it would kind of get your interest into the game, and once you pass that level, you move on to the next level, and then you go on from there. And the objective always was to finish the game, not just a level. You might not understand that, but it was never, you don't buy a game for one level. You buy a game so you can finish the game, you can play the game and enjoy the game. But here's what I've understood with video games, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but with video games, the second level is harder than the first level. And the third level is harder than the second level. And it progresses at getting harder and harder until you finally finish the game. But as you go from level to level, you understand quickly that there are things you learn in the previous level that help you in the next level. You find out there are things that come alongside you, or things that you can have, almost like some bonuses along the way that help you in the level that you are currently in. And we're going to talk a bit about that this morning as they talked about leveling up with God. We're going to talk about that today. And we're going to talk about the things that you need in your life to help you go to another level with God. I know there are kids in this place, and let me address the kids in this service this morning. Kids, whatever age you are, it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're an older kid or a younger kid, or maybe you're an 80-year-old kid. But let me just say this. If you are a kid in this place, you are not too young to be used by God. You are not too young to be used by God. I know you're in big church right now, but please hear me. It's not big church and little church, but it's the church. And you are a part of the church. You have the ability and the opportunity to impact your circle of influence. My daughter's here, and she'll hate that I'm telling stories about her, but my daughter is turning 8, and when she goes to school, she tells people about Jesus. She's not a preacher on a pulpit, but she's a preacher in her classroom. And I'll read stories to my kids, Bible stories, and we'll kind of talk about them. And I remember one time she went to school and she told her friend, who is not a Christian, two friends actually, about how Jesus healed this girl who was dead. She came back to life. And they're like, really? He did that? They're like, yeah, how? I don't know. It's Jesus. He can do that kind of thing. And their interest, and I remember we'd pray at night for her friend. She said, I want to pray for my friend. And she would come to church with me, and then one time her prayer switched, and we stopped praying for her friend. I said, why are we praying for your friend? She goes, because I want to pray for her parents so that they let her come to church. She was 7. So kids, you are not too young to be used by God. The Bible tells us not to let anybody look down on you because you are young. But in your character, you live out what it means to look like Christ. But even though the scripture says don't let anybody else look down on you, please hear me, kids. Do not look down on yourself. Do not think, I'm just too young, I can't do anything, but when I'm older, because what will happen is when you say, when I'm older, you'll get to an older age and say, if I was younger. The age you are now, young or old, is the perfect age to be used by God. And so this morning, as I preach this message, I know it might sound like I'm talking to adults, but kids, please hear me, I'm talking to you. And in the middle of your conversation with your friend next to you or your sibling next to you, maybe God will speak something into your life today if you'll allow him to. And I believe with all my heart that this kids' ministry is not just a kids' ministry, but it is the church that is going to impact this community. And so as adults in this church, we pray for our kids. Whether they're yours or not, we pray for the kids in this place because as you heard, we are a family who looks to see the entire family succeed. In our story this morning, we have the story of David and Goliath. We have the story of this young man, this kid, this small kid going up to battle against this giant by the name of Goliath. You see, the Israelites and the Philistines were at war. There was a battle taking place. And this is the story that puts David on the map, on the world map, for all to take notice. If you'll allow me for just a second, I want to make mention that although this was David's story to put him on the map, in a world perspective, he was already on the map in God's view. You see, in the previous chapter, he anoints David as his next king. All he was doing was taking care of sheep, serving his family, taking care of sheep. And God already knew who he was, and God called him to be king because he was faithful with a job that might seem insignificant to others. Wherever you find yourself today, you might not feel recognized, you might not feel noticed, you might not feel like you've achieved what you think you're supposed to achieve. But please hear me, before David ever became king on a throne, he was king while taking care of sheep. And so wherever you are today, you might think you belong up here or somewhere else in the public view, but please hear me. Your purpose in life is not to be on the stage in front of everybody, getting noticed by everybody else, but your objective or your purpose in life is to be noticed by Him. And when He notices you, He puts you on the map that He wants you on. And we sit back and say, God, whatever you want to do with my life. And so don't rush the process. Don't rush where you're at, but be faithful with where you are. David, in this case, if you don't remember, he was, as I said, just a shepherd boy. But he had just been recently been told that he is going to be the next king. And while waiting for that role, he continues to serve in the capacity that he was in. Your calling does not exempt you from your current role. In fact, your current role prepares you for your calling. Where you find yourself right now, it is preparing you for where God is bringing you. The plans that God has for you in the future, where He has you right now, He's preparing you for that. And I know for some of you, you might question, well, why am I hurting so bad? Why am I experiencing this loss? Why am I experiencing this? I want to tell you today that God is not the author of your pain. God is not the author of your pain. He's not the author of your negative circumstance. But please hear me. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so even in the negativity, even in the sadness, even in the frustration, He can take all things and make them good. And what I mean by that is as you approach another season in life, He is preparing you now for that season. And maybe it's to come alongside someone who's going through exactly what you went through before. I don't know why we have to go through what we go through, but I do know that in those seasons, God prepares us for something great. So don't rush where you are, but embrace who He is and allow Him to work in your life. We have the Philistines on one valley, on one mountain. We have the Israelites on another mountain. And it says that they came into the valley to battle. Now this battle, this war, what was happening was the Israelites were trying to take where the Philistines were, and the Philistines were trying to take over where the Israelites were. And so to go from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, there has to be a valley. And they go into the valley, but in the valley is where we find that God equips us or prepares us or helps us to get to the next mountaintop. We'll talk a bit more about that in a few moments, but you heard some of the things they learned about this week, and so I want to talk about two specifically. The first one is teamwork. The first one is teamwork, or if you'll allow me today to steal our church name, community. It's about community. It's about us having people around us, us being around people. It's about us working together. And in video games, there's a lot of games that are for one player only. But the odd occasion, you have moments where you can play a game that allows you to use two players. And two players is great because at times where you are being attacked from the back, there is somebody now who can cover your back, who can protect you from other places that you can't get to. Or sometimes you might get some kind of power-up that the other person doesn't have and they are in need of that power-up, but you have it. You can go and help them in their situation. Contra was one of those games. You could have just a regular thing that would shoot regular bullets, or there was one that just kind of like fireballs everywhere. It was pretty amazing. And working as two players would help because what one person couldn't do, another person could do. In our story this morning, David is sent from his house where he was taking care of sheep to go and give a report back to his dad about what was taking place with the army where his brothers were serving. And he goes and he's supposed to bring them some food. His dad says, go bring this to your brothers and bring me back a report so I know how things are going. And he finds his way to this scene and he finds himself seeing this giant by the name of Goliath. And Goliath is calling out the Israelite army. saying, is there anybody who is willing to take me on? I am the best that they have. Send us your best. And he begins to make an arrangement saying, look, if you can send somebody to beat me, we will serve you. But if we beat you, you must serve us. And David shows up and sees this guy, and he sees this giant. But what alarms him, I don't think, is the giant. What I think alarms him is the reaction of God's people. God's people are hiding. They're scared every time they see this giant. And he thinks, this is not how God's people are supposed to operate. Please hear me. Fear is a natural feeling that we can experience in our life. There's nothing that says that Christians can't be afraid of things. But fear should never be something that cripples you. Because our God is greater than your circumstance. Our God is greater than your fear. He is greater than your situation. He is greater than all those things. So although you might be afraid, we see it in Scripture all the time, he says, do not be afraid. Not because it's not real fear. Not because the thing in front of you is not big, but because of who I am. Do not be afraid. Your situation, do not be afraid of it. Do not worry. Do not panic. Do not run in the opposite direction, because your God is bigger than your situation. Your God is bigger than your circumstance. So David sees these men and he thinks to himself, why are we responding this way to this Philistine? David begins to ask some questions and he hears some people talking and they say, hey, did you guys hear that whoever takes on the giant and defeats him, well, he's going to get some prizes, maybe some fidget spinners? Not true. My daughter's like, I'll sign up for that, sure. But he says, first of all, we're going to give some wealth to his family. He's going to live for free, this guy. And somewhere in there, he says, they say this, he'll also have an opportunity to marry the king's daughter. I personally like to think that that's the part that got David's attention, where he was just kind of walking by and he hears the first one, the second one. He's like, whoa, hold up. You guys want to tell that again? He's like, they're like, what? What does the guy get who defeats the giant? Oh, he gets this. Oh, yeah, no, the other thing. Oh, this. No, the other thing. Oh, he gets his wife. All right, we're talking. This is good. Now David's excited. And he says, you know what? I'm going to do this. And if you remember the story, his brother actually gets mad at him. He's like, why'd you even come here? Why have you come to be a part of this? I know what you're doing. You came here to see a fight. You came here to see a battle. And David's response is, what have I done? All I've done is come to bring you food and to bring some reports back to our dad. What have I really done? I'm just asking some questions. If you know the story, word gets back to Saul, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. We have to understand, although I make light of the idea that the girl that he could have was an incentive, or maybe some of the other things were an incentive, David's purpose ultimately is because of his love for God. His purpose, his ultimate purpose, was because of his love for God. It included the people that were there, his love for people. He saw people who were afraid. He saw his brothers who were part of an army that were afraid, but his ultimate purpose as to doing what he was doing was because of his love for God, and he would not allow anybody to speak ill of his God. He says at one point, he goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should come and defy the army of the living God? He's offended because this person is challenging his God, and he knows that his God is the only God, the God who is able to do all things. He is not afraid of this giant because of who his God is, and he is upset at what has taken place. What happens in this situation, talk about teamwork, is we think to ourselves, well, how could you find teamwork? There is nobody here who helps David. Saul actually tried to handicap him in a sense because he said, put on my armor, and he couldn't move, he couldn't walk, he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. But no one really came and said, hey, David, I'll go with you. But what happens is when we only look at it as nobody helped David, we miss the point that David actually helped others. David saw that the army needed help. And so David said, I will do what it takes to assist what needs to be done here. And him saying, I will serve, him saying, I will fight, was him saying, this army here are my brothers. They are my family, and so I want to make sure that I help my family any way possible. I'm going to do whatever it takes. our role as a member of the body of Christ is, yes, to love God, but it's also to love each other. Scripture tells us that we are to love God with everything that we have, and from that, to love others. Not when it's convenient to you, not when they meet your criteria, not when they meet what you think is right for someone to be worthy of your love, but you are to love because of your love for him. We don't judge, we don't look and see something wrong or something not right. We look and we see God in every single person that we come across, whether they love God as much as you do or they don't. We love them. We truly want to reach our community. I'll tell you, love people even if they don't believe what you believe. You truly want to see people come to know Christ, love them even though they do everything wrong according to your standards. Love people. But oftentimes in our churches today, I'm not saying this church specifically, but churches in general, is we serve in areas that are convenient for us. We serve in areas that, well, okay, sure, I'll give my time to this because I can, you know, I'm free, I'll do something about it. But I believe that a healthy church is a church where individuals do not care about what's convenient to them, but they care about what's good for God. They care about seeing God's kingdom grow. They care about God's kingdom advancing. But it's going to take people who come together and work together. I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 26. Allow me to read it for a moment. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that should not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would it be sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, and there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. I'm going to repeat that. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I read that, and that last part sticks out to me because Pastor Steve at the beginning of the service, or right before, during worship, I should say, he mentioned how people are suffering. And we say that so you can pray, but so that we alongside them suffer with them. We experience the loss that others experience. We experience the pain that others experience. I understand you might not experience it to greater lengths that they might feel, but please hear me. We suffer together as the body of Christ. We come alongside and say, I am praying for you, because when you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you are good, I'm good. When you're successful, I'm successful. We succeed together, we struggle together, we move forward as a church together. It takes a community to move forward, not just an individual. We cannot leave it up to a pastoral staff to make this church move forward. It has to be its members, it has to be every part of the body doing its part, because what the eye can do, the feet cannot do. It takes everybody to work together if we're going to move forward. If we're going to get to another level with God as a church and as individuals, we're going to need the support of other people. As I said, we think no one helped David, but when we focus on it, it is David who is doing the helping. He volunteered his services. Our mindset as a church and as individuals has to be a kingdom mindset, not a personal one. So my question to you today is this: in this church, in this community, on behalf of this church, where is the need that you can meet? Even if it doesn't fall into your current agenda, where is the need that you can meet? What can you do? Maybe for some of you, it's just prayer. But pray with everything you have. As I said, Ashley helped us with the birth of our our third daughter and our son. She was on shift during the birth of Addison, but with Nixon, overnight, she stayed even though she was not on shift. She had just worked night shifts, but she saw a need where she could be of some use, and she said, how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I come alongside you? What can I do to make this easier for you? What can I do to make this better for you? That needs to be the mindset of the church. How can I come alongside you to make this easier for you, to be better for you? It's not the role of one person, it's the role of the church. We come alongside each other and say, if you're suffering, I'm going to suffer with you, and we're going to get out of this together. We have to have a kingdom mindset. Second is this: in that valley, you find abilities. Maybe your abilities go up, or you find new abilities. As I said, in video games, the first level is usually easier than the second. And the further you go in the game, the more difficult it is. If you were to start on the 10th level without ever experiencing levels 1 to 9, you do so without the experience that levels 1 to 9 actually gives you. Nobody likes to start at number 1 because we just want to see the end. We want to see the end. We want to see the end. But levels 1 to 9 are so valuable for your development, for your abilities to be developed. David was introduced to King Saul. I like to imagine this situation to be somewhat of a humorous one. But King Saul has been panicking because nobody has volunteered for someone to go after Goliath. And all of a sudden he hears rumors that there is somebody who has volunteered. It must have excited him. They say, King, we found somebody. You did? Yes. Bring him to me. And I don't know if he got kind of his room ready for this guy to come in and see how powerful of a king he was, but there was an excitement that took place. He's like, yes, somebody is going to go and do what I should have been doing myself. And he's there, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. And David comes into the room, and Saul's waiting. And they say, King, he's here, and Saul's waiting. And they said, he's over here, and Saul's still waiting. I could see him. Where is he? Where is our fearless warrior? He's right here, King. Move that boy out of the way. I can't see. Where is he? No, King. He is the boy. I'm sorry, what? The warrior, it is the boy. He's the one who volunteered. Okay, time out. I asked for a warrior, not a boy, who liked the ultimate warrior. Sorry, that was in wrestling reference. I apologize. No, King, he's the one who's volunteering. And I could just picture Saul thinking to himself, well, this is not going to go as I planned. And he actually says, excuse me, David, there is no possible way that you can go and fight this giant. You are but a boy. And this giant, he's been battling. He's been in war. He's been in combat since he was a boy. You can't do this. Have you seen him? Yes, King, I've seen him. No, have you really seen him? Maybe you've been hanging out with sheep a little too long. And I can see David, exactly. What? I was just joking. No, exactly. Because I have been hanging out with sheep, I am prepared for this moment. As to the king, he says, King, I don't think you understand. This joker over here has been talking bad about our God. He's been defying the armies of the living God. Yeah, so I'm thinking, Misa thinking, that we are not going to let this happen anymore. Let me tell you a few stories, King. I took care of some sheep. That's not helping your case, David. But I took care of some sheep for my dad. And there was this one time, this lion came, and he took one of the sheep, and he ran off. And he's like, so I just picture Saul saying, okay. He goes, and I ran after him. Why? Because I went after him because that was one of my sheep. And I caught up to the lion. You did? Absolutely. What did you do? Well, I grabbed the sheep out of his mouth. You did that? Wow. But guess what, King? There's more? Yes, there's more. The lion then turned on me. Did you survive? Yeah. And you know what I did? I grabbed him by the beard. And I took that line down. But guess what, King? There's still more. There's always more when it comes to God. A bear tried the same thing. A bear? Yes, a bear. Stop repeating what I say. He says a bear did the same thing. I did the same thing to the bear. And let me tell you something, King. What I did to that lion and that bear, I'm going to do the exact same thing to that giant. I'm going to do the exact same thing. Because the God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is the exact same God that's going to deliver me from this giant. You got to hear this. He wasn't just taking care of sheep, but God was preparing him for moments just like this. I think if he never took care of those sheep and never got to fight off a lion or a bear, we'd have a different writing of this story in Scripture. But because of his experience, it developed his abilities. It developed who he was as a warrior, even though it didn't look like Goliath. It prepared him for this moment at this time. The season of sadness, the season of brokenness, the season of pain, when we go through that valley, please hear me, God is preparing you for something greater. And sometimes he's preparing you for another season that you don't want to go through. But he knows that if you get through this season, when you get to the next one, you'll know you can get through that one as well because you've been prepared and your abilities have been developed. God desires to develop your abilities in that valley. If you want to go to another level with God, you have to allow him to develop your abilities in that valley. I love the king's response. He's like, it just took a couple of stories from David. I want to tell you, stories are powerful things. That's why those "it happened" cards are valuable. Because you begin to tell people what happened, and they're going to want to know by who. Stories are powerful. So David goes from telling stories, and Saul says, okay, let's suit you up for battle. As I said, we know the story where he puts on this armor, but David's like, I can't do this because when I was prepared with something else. Do not try and operate in somebody else's ability. Do not try operating in somebody else's gifting. But in the battle that you are facing, operate with what God has given you. Use what God has prepared you with. Fight with what you know what to fight with. Walk in confidence with what God has done in your life. So David says, I got this. He says, well, what are you going to fight with? I got my armor. Well, where is it? It's right here. A slingshot, and I got some rocks. He's like, you've got to be joking, right? Remember the bear story? You're good, David. Go ahead. It says that David charges towards him, and he shoots that rock, and it defeats the giant. And we know that they go from mountaintop through the valley to mountaintop. And they bring their relationship with God to a whole new level. They see something different they never saw before. And it leads me to my third point today. We've already seen that it takes a community or it takes the relationships or teamwork to help us. We've seen that it's the abilities that bring us to another level with God. But finally, it's this, it's faith. I'm going to close with this thought. Faith. What you need is faith. What you need is faith. I don't think I could stress that enough. What you need is faith. If you're going to go to another level in your relationship with God, you're going to need faith. For some of you, you know my story. You know that I was here for 8 years, and then last year I felt God challenging me to step out of my comfort zone and step out of something that was so safe and so secure and step into something that required a lot of faith. And I want to be honest with you. Every day requires more faith. When the financial support does not happen the way I thought it was supposed to happen, it requires more faith. It does not mean I don't get discouraged. It doesn't mean I don't get sad sometimes. It doesn't mean that I don't start to question things sometimes. But every single time when I share my frustration and I share my fears and I share my thoughts of defeat with God, my prayer time ends with, but God, even now I still trust you. Even now I can't help but believe that you are who you say you are. that I see Scripture, God, and you say that I will be without need, and so I hold you to that because you are a God who is true, who does not lie. I'll tell you, I've taken a lot of walks. I've gone around that lake a bunch of times with that little thingamajig near my house, a bunch of times just talking to God. Maybe a sermon in my ears, or I'm listening to some music or something, or I'm being fed when I come here on a Sunday, and Pastor Jeff talked about that one message that says, worship until you receive. So I have nowhere else to turn but to Him. And that's faith. But the Bible says this, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we're going to go to another level in our faith or another level in our relationship with Him, it means pleasing Him, and it is with faith that we please Him. It will require you to have faith. Without faith, David would not have volunteered. Without faith, David would not have trusted his abilities. Without faith, David would not have been successful. And ultimately, without faith, the Israelites would not have moved from mountain to mountain. But instead, it would only left them trying to live on one experience or defeated in the valley. Either response, both lead to a stagnant relationship with God. I don't know where your faith journey is at. I could speak of my own personal story. And I say this to people all the time when they ask me how things are going and I share my story. I say, I don't share it so people have pity on me. I don't share it to receive anything. But I share it because I know people go through situations that they don't really enjoy. And I want them to know that there's hope. I want them to know that there's hope. Pastor Steve was praying before and talking about those who have lost the people or experiencing what Pastor Jordan's experiencing. Let me tell you why Pastor Jordan could respond the way that he did. The Bible tells me this, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you why Pastor Jordan could respond the way he responded. Because before this, he tasted how good God is. And because of that experience, even though this is not the season he wants to be in, even though it's not the circumstance he wants to experience, his faith tells him it's going to be okay. His faith tells him it's going to be okay. Gene, I see you. We've had some moments where we've been able to talk and you've asked me to pray for specific things. And those requests for prayer came out of your faith in Him. Because you've tasted and you've seen how good He is. Even in tragedy, even in sadness, you have tasted and you have seen how good He is. And your faith is what gets you through. I admire you. I really do. I hope that if put in the same situation, I can respond as well as you have. If you don't know me yet, I cry a lot. But faith is what gets you through. I know who my God is. I know what He can do. And even though my situation does not look like the way I thought it would look, I'm hopeful. Jesus dying on the cross was not so we could remain on one mountaintop experience or that we should remain in fear, but He died on a cross so that we could remain in Him forever. Now and forever. He died on a cross not so you could experience a mountaintop experience and that was it, but He died on a cross so that you can go from one mountaintop experience, experience the valley successfully, and still get to the next mountaintop experience. There is more to God than you've already experienced. If you think, well, I'm the oldest person in this church, I've experienced a lot of God, there's still more. If you are still breathing, there's still more. He is a faithful God. He is a good God. He is a loving God who has plans for your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, breath in your lungs says you still have a job. He wants to equip you, but you got to allow him to. Oh, come to the altar. Is that cool? Is that all right? Sorry if I threw off your plans. But I love this song. It's been my response for a long time now. And when I don't know where else to turn, I have only one spot that I need to go to, and it's into his presence. I learned a long time ago that down at his feet is the most high place. And so if you're comfortable this morning, would you stand out of your seat? We're just going to sing this one time through. I know time is almost up. They're going to sing it. I'll sing quietly. And then I'm going to close in prayer. But I want you to know this morning. If you're on a mountaintop, don't get comfortable. If things are so great, don't get comfortable. Because in this life, you will face tough times. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. And if you're in the valley, fear not. Because he's with you. And greatness is right around the corner. As we sing this morning, would you sing with us?
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Yes, he is.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Father, I thank you for who you are. You're awesome. You're awesome. I'm just going to ask if you would just keep your head bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask this question. If you're in this place this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, what I mean by that is you've never said, Jesus, would you come and live in my life? I believe that you lived. I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose again. Come and take away my sins. If you have never done that before, and today, in a step of faith, you would say, I want that relationship. With nobody looking around, if that's you, you want that relationship today. I want to just pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you just lift your hand up high enough so I could see it? To make the most incredible decision in your life, just high enough so I could see it. I'm going to wait about 5 seconds. Awesome. Thank you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for that hand that was lifted up this morning. But if you did lift up your hand, here's what I'm asking, that you would find somebody today after the service is done and tell them, hey, I accepted Jesus, my personal Lord and Savior. We're going to have some altar workers at the end who are going to come up and they can pray for people. So come find somebody, find a pastor and talk to them. If this morning you are in need of a touch from Jesus, when I say amen, as I said, there are going to be people at the front here. They can pray for you. Please do not leave if you need prayer. Do not be embarrassed by your need of prayer. but in faith and in boldness, would you come out of your seats this morning in just a few moments and say, can somebody pray for me? So I'm going to pray, and I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you today. Continue to pray for your pastors. Pray for the staff that are here that serve you so incredibly well. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I pray that in this place today, as your word has been spoken, that God, it would be received in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that people would know your voice, they would know your calling, that they would know that you are the one speaking to them today. That today in this place, they are not here by accident, but God, you have brought them here on purpose to speak to them and to do an incredible work in their life. God, I pray for this church that, Lord, we would not be content with one mountaintop experience. But God, we would look to find you everywhere that we go. And that, God, we would move from mountaintop to mountaintop, experiencing the goodness that you have for this church, but even more importantly, for this community and for this city. From the youngest to the oldest today, Lord, I pray that we would receive the directions that you have for our life. Surround us with people who want us and this church to succeed. Surround us with people who are going to help us. And Lord, allow us to be people who look to help others. Father, I love you. I need you. Church, we need you. So today as we leave, God, would you be with us? Would we be reminded of your presence everywhere that we go? I love you. In your name I pray.